All right, welcome in back here at Mining Stock Daily on this Monday, and we're touching base with the Daily Dirt Naps, Jared Dillian. Coming off of his DirtCon 5 over Myrtle Beach, it was a couple days and events last week at his conference that Jared puts on. We had to wait to get that done. Jared, welcome back. I hope all is well after a few days.
Yeah, I got to tell you, putting on a conference never gets any easier. It's always a shit show, but this one was the best one. I got to say the last three have all been really good, but this one was fantastic. So yeah. Lots of good presentations.
You wrote about it this morning in your newsletter in the Daily Dirt Nap, and you said Peter Atwater kind of stole the show, it seemed like. I'm yet to read his book. It's like on my list.
Well, the thing about Peter is, you know, I didn't really think about this, but he's a professor. Like, he's an adjunct professor at William & Mary. So anybody who's a professor is used to standing up in front of people and giving lectures. And he's, dude, if he was my professor, like, that would be awesome because he was really, really good and loud.
Yeah, cool. Well, I mean, academia isn't getting a whole lot of love these days, right? It's kind of got a bad rep the last year or two.
Yeah.
So that, we don't need to go into that, but it is kind of, it's nice to hear people like lifting, you know, academic personalities up.
So the other person I got who was a professor was a guy named Chris Fryman, who is a professor of philosophy at West Virginia. And he is a capitalist philosopher. Okay. So in a world when 99.9% of philosophy departments at universities are left wing, he is one in a million. And we need a lot more people like him in universities. He was also fantastic. So he's also on Twitter. So if you want to follow him on Twitter, he's C.A. Fryman. Fryiman. He's got a great Twitter game. And it sounds like I'm going to be speaking to his classes at West Virginia in the fall. So
great. That's awesome. Well, let's get to kind of the conversation of the day, and that is markets here. We a little bit of a rebound in the general markets after pretty much of a crushing week last week. But let's talk about gold here, Jared. The theme from the newsletter and into your DirtCon last week was, I hate gold. it's a little bit of a spin of total sentiment here, but talk about kind of what you're seeing in this gold trade. I haven't talked to you since I think we put on $300 or $400 in the spot price.
Yeah. I still think there's some upside, not a significant amount. I don't think we've topped yet, believe it or not. I don't think we put in the top, at least locally. Looking at the charts, I still think we're going to get up to about 2,500 or so. And my intention at that point was to fully hedge my position, right? Like completely hedge it with puts. And I expected a pullback to about 2,250 or so. There's also some support at 2,300. I think we're trading at about 2,330 right now. But this is all geopolitical stuff. I mean, Iran attacked Israel, Israel attacked Iran, and they were both kind of ineffective. And it doesn't seem like anybody is in the mood to get into a regional conflict at this point. So the worst case scenario has been truncated and gold is trading off. But gold is not simply about geopolitical risks, as you know. Like, I don't know if you saw the thread that I put on Twitter a couple of weeks ago about monetization, but you know, we're running bigger and bigger budget deficits and interest rates are going to go up. And there's going to be a point in time at some point in the future when the Fed is going to be pressured to cap interest rates by monetizing the debt. And that's the point at which gold goes parabolic. So, you know, out of the 5,000 days that I've owned gold and we have one shitty day today, I'm not really too worried about it at all. So.
Yeah, I hear you. I don't hear a whole lot of complaining other than people in the junior gold equities, which are incredibly volatile in the first place. I mean, given this move here, I look at the daily gold futures chart, Jared. I mean, the 50-day moving average is back down to $2,200. And so, I mean, even a correction back down there would be, you know, retesting totally that would be totally normal.
Yeah.
but it's going to shake some people out, right? I mean, it's going to get people are going to get a little scared in that.
That's the point. I mean, you hear this in the stock market a lot, like this idea of a healthy correction and flushing out all the late longs and restoring technical health to the trade. But I don't even think we're doing that right now. Like I don't know. Like I don't think we're going to get down to 2200. I think 2250 would be the absolute lowest. That's about, you know, it's about 50% of the move. So
yeah. Okay. Let's talk about the general markets and sentiment, what you're seeing here, Jared. I mean, we've lived I don't even know how many years where is that mentality, just numbers go up, right? And numbers go up until they stop going up. And I've started hearing, you know, rumblings of a shakedown out of the tech sector into more cyclicals, defensive type of equities. You know, given what you talked about last week, and then your just incredible knack for following sentiment, what are you watching here in the major markets? Is there a little bit of a transition going on, or are we just kind of waiting to see if that buy the dip mentality still holds?
I think there's a transition going on. There is definitely some sector rotation. I mean, it was a bad week for tech last week. And even the bounce we're having today is not really an impulsive move. It's a pretty weak bounce. So I do think we have further downside in stocks. There hadn't been a lot of rotation into defensives, but there had been rotation into energy and especially basic materials. Like basic materials have been doing really well. I think today is the first day that that's really corrected. But yeah, like I don't have a position on in the broad market at the moment, like in S&Ps or anything, but, I'm definitely leaning bearish. So
are you? Okay. Why are you leaning bearish? What are you seeing?
Well, you know, we broke trend and, you know, we had a long period of time. We had this big top. You know, I've always said that the stock market makes V bottoms and U tops, right? Mm-hmm. And when the stock market tops, there's this period of distribution that has to take place when shares are passing from strong hands to weak hands. And that happened. We had this long period of distribution, and now it's starting to break down. And, you know, volatility, I'm looking at the VIX. The VIX is about 17 right now, but, the VIX is broken out significantly. So yeah, I definitely see the potential for further downside.
Yeah. I mean, do you think the market's finally kind of come to grips with they were way out over their skis earlier this year with rate cut expectations? And now it even seems like maybe the Federal Reserve even might've been out over their skis a little bit here in the last couple months. So saying they want to cut rates, but they just don't have, at least where we sit here, Jared, I don't see the data that supports a rate cut.
Well, we did get that. Here's the thing with the Fed. Like, the Fed is very slow moving, and the data did get soft towards the end of last year. We had a period of very soft data, and that's when the market started aggressively pricing in rate hikes. If you remember, at one point we had rate cuts. At one point we had 8 rate cuts priced in for 2024. And now I think that's down to about 1.5 or 2. I do think it's possible they cut rates once before the election. I think there's actually a Fed meeting in November, like the day after the election. I think it's supposed to be on Wednesday, but they moved it to Thursday because of the election. But we could get a rate cut in September. But regardless, we're getting a hell of a lot less than people anticipated at the end of 2023. So.
I mean, if they cut a quarter basis point, does that do anything for the trajectory?
No, it doesn't. And really what it sets the Fed up for embarrassment, really, because if they cut a quarter point and inflation starts to ramp in 2025, then they're going to look very foolish. So that's kind of like the inverse of the Trichet hike going into the financial crisis. So.
You did write a little bit not too long ago, a couple weeks ago, about copper. I mean, copper's continued to move higher, and you started following the producers and Freeport MacMoran kind of being the one chart that sticks in the back of my mind that you threw into the newsletter here. So we are talking about industrials. The copper's had a crazy run. I actually just received a deck from an institution regarding Chinese demand for base metals. And the analyst coverage really was, if you're kind of leaning on Chinese stimulus as far as infrastructure, how much more can they actually build? They overbuilt in the last cycle. It's still kind of, you know, empty apartments everywhere. So the expectation that China's just going to do the old playbook and stimulate through more building might be a little bit of a lost cause here.
Well, I don't think copper is a China story. I think copper is an India story. I think that's the next big infrastructure push. So yeah, I mean, I don't really have anything more to add on that, but you know, India is growing like crazy. And they have a significant amount of infrastructure to build. Like that's where I think the copper story is super interesting. So,
What about Argentina? I mean, that's a massive area of potential huge copper production out of Argentina now with the Milei government. Any thoughts on what Milei does for industrial production out of Argentina?
Well, you would think it would be copper bearish. You know, if Argentina starts producing a lot more, then that would be copper bearish. But I really haven't put any thought into that. So I think the India story is bigger.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you were totally out there talking. You were invested in Argentina leading up to the Milei election. I mean, and then that was a great return for you and your subscribers.
It still is. And those stocks are doing pretty well today as we speak. So,
yes.
I mean, you know, that's, you know, I told people that was like a 10-year trade. It's really like a 4-year trade until the next election, because God knows what's going to happen in 2027 when they have their next election. But yeah, I invested in two stocks, which I suppose I can disclose at this point. One of them was a bank. It was Grupo Galicia, which is GGAL, and the other one was YPF. GGAL has done amazingly well. It's up close to 200% from where I bought it. YPF hasn't done as well, but it's been an amazing trade. So,
yeah. Well, I don't know. It's hard for me to say because it's based here in Colorado, but there is a little bit of welcome struggle going on in Argentina, but it seems like they are handling it pretty well, at least from where I stand. Are you seeing anything that would you concur?
What did you say? Welcome struggle? I never heard of this before.
Yeah, well, you know, because Milei said that he comes in, his platform is to come in, get a grip on the economy, stop the inflation. I mean, just kind of basically a reset.
Basically,
which is why
what you're betting is that Milei is going to be able to pull this off, right? Like he's going to be able to overcome the unions and overcome Congress, and one man is going to be able to reshape the economy. And honestly, I think he's got a pretty good chance of doing that. There's obstacles along the way. But I think he has a pretty good chance. So, and he has popular support. You know, he's totally retained his support that he had before the election. And I think as long as he has popular support, he can do whatever he wants. So,
yeah. Well, that's why I said welcome struggle, because when he was campaigning, he said this needs to be done. It's not going to be easy.
Yeah. Yeah. And there is pain. There is pain there for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. All right. Now that you kind of got your head back above sand there, coming off the conference, Jared, what are you kind of watching here in the next couple of weeks as we go into the summer? I mean, the spring's almost over here.
Well, you know, today's kind of an interesting day to do the podcast because, you know, this is a kind of a tough day for ags are doing well, but a lot of commodities this is a tough day for commodities. But I still think that commodities broadly are the story for the next 6 to 12 months. You know, that's definitely going to be the story. So that's what I'm looking at.
Hard assets. Yeah. All right, Jared, we'll touch base again. Thanks so much for your time, and congratulations on yet another great event.
Thank you.
The information presented should not be considered investment advice. Mining Stock Daily and its affiliates are not responsible for any loss arising from any investment decision in connection with the material presented herein. Please do your own research or speak with a licensed financial representative before making any investment decisions.